And it was really out of that because my husband had said to me during the week, oh, I don't know how I'll be. And then this morning he got up and he said, I think I'll be right for tonight. And then, of course, you know, they say men, when it's women on the way home, he said, you'd better do it. So it's like, you know, you've got to say, God, just give me an inspired word. And I went away into, had a drink and went into my study and really prayed and thought about this morning and thought about what we do with what we've got. And so I'm going to ask you now, my husband was able to get this out of the garden for me. And what is it, Josiah? What's that? What is it? It's a stick. Okay, Caleb, it's a stick. So what would you do with a stick, Caleb? What could you think you could do with a stick? What would you do with it, Joshua? A walking stick, very good. Matthew? You're not sure. Okay, anybody else? What would someone do with this stick?
Firewood.
Firewood, exactly. So there's lots. Absolutely, and I've seen my husband run out of fishing rods and do that, cut them and as a stake. So we see there's lots of things that we can do with this stick. But what does it determine what we do with the stick? Some of the adults. What does it determine? Like, what is it that determines what we do with the stick? Imagination, what's inside of us exactly. Our thoughts. And so if I gave each one of you one of these sticks, you may all do something different. Now, just over this last week, I received an email from a friend of mine, dear friend, many of you know, Carolyn Fielding, who sends me some great emails. And it was this man who just takes a block of wood, a small block or a large block, and he carves and he carves and he carves out these magnificent, perfect animals, and then he paints them. And so we might look at a block of wood and think, well, it's good for the fire or it's good to stand on as a step or something, but this man's imagination and the gift that's within him enables him to carve it out into something beautiful. And if we go back and think in the early days to the Aboriginals, they would just love this stick. They maybe would pick one that's a bit straighter, but they made spears out of sticks and they would strip the bark from the trees and cut them down. And so they had all sorts of imaginations. The other thing we've used sticks for is when we've been camping up the river, my husband has got sticks and we've stuck marshmallows on the end of them and put them in the fire. Or chestnuts on the fire. And so there's lots of things that you can do with a stick. And the other thing has been said is a walking stick. And I shared a few times ago when I spoke about a story I heard of a young man who was come to a town and he went walking with this young lady and he saw a stick. She said, what did you pick that old stick up for? He said, never mind, I'll use it. And a little bit later her father had an accident and this young man came with this beautiful, carved, shiny walking stick that he had made out of this old bit of stick that she saw. And sometimes we can see things as useless and as nothing, but it's what we do with those things. And so tonight I want to talk about that. And I believe God's saying to us, and particularly as I looked at the children this morning, what is in your hand? We all have something. Now, you may not have anything in your hand, but that inner hand means represented is in being in you. And in the Bible, in Exodus chapter 4, there's a story there of Moses when God first called Moses to deliver the Israelites out of bondage in Egypt. And God called him, as we know, he saw the burning bush and God called him and told him what he wanted to do. And in verse 1, Moses said, what if they do not believe me or listen to me and say, the Lord did not appear to you? And then the Lord said to him, what is it that you have in your hand? And of course, Moses, because he'd been out tending the sheep, God had allowed him to go out there for many years and he felt now that this was his life. And that any hope of doing anything mighty for God was over. So he just tended the sheep and thought this was going to be his life. And he was already a very mature man. And you see, the shepherds with the sheep would go around and they would have a staff, which was a stick, not much different to that one. And so God said to him, "What is in your hand?" And Moses said, "It's a staff." And so the Lord said, "Throw it on the ground." Now, can you imagine Moses' surprise when he threw this stick on the ground and it became a snake? And Moses got such a shock and such a fright, he ran away. And God said to him, "Come back. Pick it up." Now, does anybody here know where it's safe to pick up a snake? What position of the snake do you pick a snake up? No, when it's alive. No, behind the head. That's exactly right, Laura. My son is teaching his son, who's a real Crocodile Dundee and loves animals and things, picks anything up. And Ross has always said, don't ever pick them up. But if ever you did, you pick it up at the back of the head so that they can't bite you. But Moses was told to pick it up by the tail. What a step of faith. What a step of faith. Now, that snake could have recoiled around and bitten him. But the minute he did what God told him, it then became a stick. It became a stick. And so we see it was nothing special in itself. It was just a stick. What was significant about this stick is what Moses had within him. God did not ask Moses what he didn't have, and he doesn't ask us what we don't have. We could all make a long list of what we don't have. God calls us at times to things, children as well, and we come up with all these excuses. We don't have enough money. We don't have a good education. That was my excuse, and it was true. I didn't have, so I thought it would be impossible to do anything. We don't have a high social standing, and the list can go on and on. But God never directs our attention to what we don't have, but to what we do have, even though it might seem small. God is not looking for big things. He's looking for big hearts and big faith so that he can move in those things. God gave us everything we need to do the job. And, you know, I was thinking about this morning with the children and how we need to be thinking about that as parents. And I'm sorry there's not more here tonight, but we all need to be reminded that when we marry and we have a child, and I'm still expecting great-grandchildren, we have a child, God places that child in our arms, and we need to look at that child not just as a beautiful pink bundle or a blue bundle to give us lots of love and cuddles, but we need to start asking God what we see in that child, what potential. It says in Proverbs 22, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it." Now, if you look at the old reading of that, it says, "Train up the child in the way it is bent," the bent of the child, which means the character, the nature of the child. And I know with our children when they're little, we used to watch them. And Carleen was always the nurse and the teacher and the instructor, the leader. And Ross was always the builder. Gary was the fiddler. Gary used to get things and pull them apart and remake them. It didn't matter what it was thrown out, and James is like that. He'd make something. So, of course, and all of these characteristics, and, of course, Leanne liked to sit and look lovely, and she was more the businesswoman, and that's what she was. And so we encouraged our children to those. We didn't slot them in, but we encouraged them in the way they should go. And so we have a builder. And Ross was always into blocks and chopping and hitting nails. So we need to look at our children. Now, that doesn't mean that necessarily that Ross would grow up a carpenter, but he was obviously going to be useful with his hands. You don't get a child that is struggling with academics and try to make them a scientist when they're showing you that they like to get out and make things or get into grease and get dirty. So we need to be training them. So it's really about what we see in our children. And even like as I've said this morning about raising our children up and seeing them grow, and when we look at that even in a deeper way, in a spiritual sense, that we see that our children, Pastor Chris was once a baby. Hard to believe, but he was once a baby, Joshua. And his mother nurtured him as his father, and they cuddled him and played with him and raised him. But they prayed for him and prayed with him. And as they started to see those traits in him, apart from he's very good, he's an excellent accountant, and so he did that, but they saw something more. And so God was calling him, yes, to be an accountant, and he's very gifted with those skills, but he was called to be a pastor. as with our grandchildren, we see they showed music, so they're up there in the music, and Rachel now is showing dramatic arts and things like that. And so we need to look at the things. Matthew over here with his skills, and Jeremy with what he does. Jeremy's into computers and things, and Matthew's over there helping with the overhead. So we see these things, and it shows that God uses those things in their life. And when they're handed over to God, they become awesome. They become that stick that in itself is nothing, but when it's touched by God, it becomes life. It becomes life. And so even though what we have at times seems small and weak, because I know with myself it was like, well, God, I just love you, but what can I do? And God said, just trust me and I will work through you. And I didn't have an education, but God showed me I had a brain. And if I was willing to study and learn, I would learn. And I've accomplished more in my life than I could have ever dreamt. So remember that. Don't use excuses, because you all have a brain that functions. You just need to use it. We all have hands. I hear people say, I'm struggling and my legs don't. Well, my legs struggle too, but God doesn't minister out of my legs. He ministers out of my spirit. And there's nothing crippled or sore in there, I can tell you. My spirit speaks really loud and clear because it's completely yielded to Jesus Christ and his spirit. And so, as I've said to my kids, if I get that bad, just sit me on a chair somewhere and I'll still minister. And so we need to understand that we can think what we have is weak, it's small, but you see, it's not what we are, but it's who we have in us. A very dear friend of mine, I was sharing the other day, has been diagnosed with cancer, and she's had her breast off with cancer, and the cancer has spread. And the doctors had told her what she was going to have to do, and she didn't want to have all these treatments, and she was looking for other therapies. And so I was praying with her and talking to her. She's now succumbed to those, but obviously to still keep her body strong, to have natural therapies, but to have the radiation and the chemo. But the Lord said to me, just remind her that cancer may have intruded into her body, but Jesus lives inside of her. Jesus lives inside of her. And he is greater and more powerful than anything else. And he can overcome all things. And so we need to see, if we place something in God, or if we ask God, he will do the great work. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And we often forget that, don't we? We forget that the Spirit of God lives within us, and that the Lord has a purpose, and he had it for us before we were born. Before I knew you, he said, I formed you in your mother's womb. I knew your substance. God already didn't have to wait till we were little toddlers running around and see what we were leaning towards. God already knew what we were doing. So we need to tap into him. And as parents, we need to be doing that with our children. They gave us such delight today, and they took it seriously, because it was something that they desired to do, and it's something that will live in their memories. So Moses' rod symbolises something that is weak. It has no life or energy of its own, just like that stick. It can only do what the natural human power of Moses enabled it to. But the power of God came into Moses, and the power of God came into the stick. It was only as Moses released his rod to God that God's power came into it. So what is it that you're struggling with? What's your stick? What is it that you have that is not functioning in your life? You need to ask God for his power to come into it. Before God could fulfill his promise to Abraham of all the nations of the earth, God asked Abraham to give him his only son. And in faith, Abraham gave, and God gave it back to him. But not as God, as Abraham had given it, but more powerful. He gave him back his son in a powerful way, and then released Abraham. You see, when we give God something, we don't miss out. We get back double. The Bible says he gives us a double portion. He's here to enrich us, to enable us. And so the rod became the symbol of God's authority and power, the instrument by which God's word and his will were enforced. So today, we need to be looking. Does your marriage need life in it? Do your children need life? Does your job need life? Does your home need life? Children, do you need life in your studies? Do you need life in trying to think about what you're going to do for the rest of your lives? Seek God and allow Him to put life in it. To put life in it just as God did with Moses. And He said to him, stretch out the rod. And as he stretched out the rod, it became, as it were, like we have, the word of God, the sword of the Spirit, that we can stretch that out. So every time Moses stretched out the rod, it was like a speaking of the word to a believing heart. And so one of the greatest problems we have as believers is that we have a tendency to underestimate what we have. And we need to be thankful for everything that we have. Everything. Instead of saying, oh, my arm's sore, praise God, I've got an arm. It may be sore, but I thank you, Lord, I have an arm and you are going to help me use it. Whatever it is that we have, don't despise your body. Don't despise the things that God has given you, the talents, the abilities, the giftings. Rejoice in them and use them wisely. There was a woman who said, I have just enough meal and oil for one little cake. And she was a widow, the widow of Zarephath. I have just a little pot of oil, said the widow woman, who was in debt and in danger of losing her sons and her own life to slavery. There was a lad with two fish and five loaves of bread. But what God did was increase it, because a little boy was willing to give it. He didn't greedily go away and hide in the corner and say, when they were looking at him, you see, I visualise the word and I can just imagine these things just don't happen like that. These people have struggles, as we saw with Moses. He argued with God. And every time he brought an argument, God gave an answer, because God has the answers. So I imagine this little boy sitting there, and they were up there talking, the disciples with Jesus, how they're going to feed these people. And the disciples were walking around looking to see. This little boy could have hidden what he had, but he handed it. And he probably thought, oh, well, I'll laugh and hand it back. But Jesus took it and he blessed it and he broke it. And he multiplied it over and over and over till it fed thousands. And there was some over. And you see, when you give the little thing that you have to God, which is your heart and your faith, He will multiply it over and over and over until there's some over to come back and bless you. Is that exciting? That God wants to bless you with your money. How many times is it that we think, oh, Lord, and the Lord's really saying, no, I want you to give all of that? And I know I've been there and I'm thinking, well, there's got to be groceries. And John said, no, that's got to come first. And we've done it. And the abundance that's come. More than we need. God is no debtor. He's no debtor. He's a faithful God. Another wonderful story, and it's a sermon in itself, and I'll finish here, was Samson. What about Samson? When Samson was assaulted by the Philistines, there were no superior weapons of quality to be found. And so, like David, Samson started to look around. And what he came across on the ground was a jawbone of an ass. Now you'd think, oh, and you'd just kick it away. But no, Samson used this as a weapon. But it wasn't the jawbone that was powerful, and he slayed them all with a jawbone of an ass. But it was his faith and what God put in the jawbone. That was what was powerful, just like David with the stones that he picked up. God made them powerful. So there's within each one of us, brothers and sisters, boys and girls, a power that maybe you haven't tapped into. There is a thing within you that you look at and feel it's as dead as that stick. And that stick is actually dry. It's a dry stick. But you see, it's a resourceful thing. In the natural, I know my husband would do lots of things with that stick. I may not see that. There are other things we can do. We learn to be resourceful, don't we, around the house? But spiritually, I know that if I bring my little to God, no matter how small it is, or no matter how defeated I feel, He can make the much of it. When Samson looked at the jawbone of the ass, he saw something that no one else saw. Are your eyes open to see the things that God has placed in your hands? Are your eyes open to see the things that He's placed within your life, within your marriage, within your children? You know, I spend lots of time, sadly. I'd love to be just encouraging people. But I praise God that He wants to lift people when they struggle. And I spend lots of times talking to married couples and sometimes women that come and they say it's all over because they look with defeatist eyes and they don't see anything worthwhile. But you see, if we look to Jesus, of course there needs to be changes. There needs to be a yielding. But if we look to Jesus, He will show us what is there to make something. But you see, often we're not prepared to change. Just like with Moses, he had to, even though he was fearful, he had to do what God said. He dropped it. And when he saw the snake, he ran. And often we miss that part in the Bible. We just think Moses was so wonderful and he just did exactly what God told him. No, he didn't. Wouldn't you be afraid if a stick became a snake? Because I know I would. But God said, you go back. We need to go back into our troubles, into our struggles, whatever it is, and trust God to put life into it. Whether it's work, whether it's money, or whatever it is. We can live very defeated lives if we look at things through our own eyes. But when we say, God, show me what you've given me. Show me what you've given me. It always used to amaze me, of course I've learnt the recipe now, but when our children were little, we didn't have Play-Doh and things. Well, I didn't know about it. And I remember when Kayleen had her children and she'd just get the flour out and everything and mix up and make this wonderful Play-Doh that the children would play. And then when you see your children, the expressions of them, what they make with this Play-Doh, with the colours of it. Sometimes we don't know what it is, but they can tell you it's some fantastic animal or a pretty doll or something, because they know that imaginative thing. But the things of God, He's not calling us to be imaginative in our own minds, but He's calling us to be imaginative with our faith in Him. And so we need to be servants, not like the one who went out and buried the talent, but the one who went out and invested. And we need to be investing. The Holy Spirit is saying to us, it's time to dig up the hidden talent in your life. Every person here has a talent. Some are moving in them. Some have not yet discovered them. Some are just timidly taking little steps and there's much more to come. And particularly with you children. You know, God is a big God. So He has big plans for you. God takes what we have in our hands and He uses it if we make it available to Him. God has called you as His son, as His daughter. And He has a mission that He wants you to achieve. Would He ever send you out without clothing you and preparing you and equipping you for that mission? No. So when you get up each morning, say, Lord, what have you got for me? What have you given me that I can use, that I can give back to you to bring you glory? So, Father, we thank you and praise you for your word tonight. We thank you for your power and your strength and the authority that you give us. We thank you, Lord, for the simple things that you place within us. We thank you for our homes, Lord, that sometimes even in our homes we can look and think, well, my home isn't flash, I don't have much. But you ask us to have an ordered home, a home with the door open and a home with a heart that beats for you, where people come in and don't notice maybe the shabbiness of the carpet and the things. They notice the power of you and the love of you and the generosity of you. There's nothing more beautiful than to welcome people in, to have a chat and have a cuppa or whatever it is. But Lord, whatever you've given us, Lord, even those that may feel they don't have much, but they've been given the ministry gift of encouragement, how we need encouragement today. Lord, help us each to search our hearts before you and say, Lord, show me what it is. And when we see it, we will give it to you, Lord, that you might magnify it, that you might double it in portion, that we might bless you, Lord God, and bless those with whom we come in contact. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord.